Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the call. This week, I get to welcome to the show a very powerful business duo, George Kruger and Mary Lynn Foster, of Big Success. And that's big with it, two G's, B-I-G-G, Big Success. We are going to talk about entrepreneuring in times of uncertainty. How topical is that? So today, George and Mary Lynn are going to share what it means to live life on your own terms and why tough times are actually ripe with opportunity for people who have the entrepreneurial mindset. So good morning, George, and good morning, Mary Lynn, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having us, Denise. We're so happy to be here.
I know. Thank you very, very much.
Well, you know, one of the very first interviews that I did was on your show.
Yes, you were great.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, I was talking about how virtual assistants are in big demand and offered our audience some wonderful tips on how to go about looking for a virtual assistant. So that was wonderful.
Well, actually, I have to thank you for my show because I was not aware of Blog Talk Radio until I met you guys, until you invited me on your show.
No, cool.
And that opened up a whole new world.
it is amazing.
And I blame it on you. So just
yeah, it's all our fault. But it is amazing, isn't it, the relationships that can be built using technology, reaching out, finding people, and then, you know, and then it becomes a lasting relationship. It's amazing.
Right.
Jim Bouchard is a connection between the three of us. And, you know, we've never met in person.
I know. And I say this on my show all the time, and I think you guys have said it as well. Given the way social media networking, not marketing, networking works these days, you get to meet people like you and like Jim Bouchard. And I've had the opportunity to interview Larry Wingate and, you know, some really great guests on my show. All of it is done through social media. I would never have the opportunity to meet you in the little village that I live in. Wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
So we get, you're right, we get to meet and,
right, the boundaries, there just aren't any boundaries anymore, which I think it is what really makes entrepreneuring so exciting, because there is that opportunity to meet those collaborators, to meet those people, and also just to get some vim and vigor, to get some energy, to meet like-minded people to help you push forward and help you strive even higher.
But everyone can be a multinational corporation.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm a very important person. Just ask my voicemail service.
That's there you go.
This is a big company you just reached.
That's right.
So, and let me just say, Denise, as a former radio DJ, you've got a great, smooth voice. I like your style.
Thank you.
You sound really good. You were meant to do a radio show.
And see, I think we had this conversation before, and I think that I sound terrible because my voice is too soft.
Nope, I think
See, I like your voice.
Oh, hey, well, hey. And
me
George,
too.
George, you're just,
yeah.
We'll get back to you in a few minutes.
All right.
There we go. Well, listen, one thing, I saw this, I'm stuttering here because I love this word, entrepreneuring. I know that probably doesn't show up on dictionary.com yet. But
no,
I love that word.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about entrepreneuring. Before we get too far into this, though, because I have a ton of questions for you guys, you guys have such a great story, both personally and professionally. I know that you're partners in life and in business.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to know. You need to tell people how that works out, because that can't work for too many people. And I would love – if I had to work with my husband – oh, God. So anyway, that's just an aside.
We hear that,
yes,
hear that often.
We do.
Well, and he would be saying, he'd be running for the hills. He thinks I get a little bit too bossy. Can you imagine?
I can't imagine.
I just don't know. No.
And Mary Lynn is nothing like that.
No.
There are days, Denise.
Well, tell us about you. Tell us about how you guys make this work, and give us a little bit of your entrepreneurial history. I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Go ahead, George. Start with your part.
Well, I guess as far as how we make it work, I guess we'll start there. Really, it's fascinating. And you know, it's funny, I think, Denise, how you think, you know, we often talk. I teach entrepreneurship at our local university, and you know, it's all about planning and all that kind of stuff. Well, we didn't plan all this. We pretty much just, it happened, you know. And what I mean by that specifically is our respective roles. But as it turns out, there's certain things Mary Lynn's very good at that she loves to do. There's things that I think I do okay, and I love to do them. And we just kind of naturally fell into a division of labor that works. And we also come at things from different perspectives. And what we found is that's a real strength, is that we don't always think alike. And sometimes that means we argue just a little bit. But ultimately, we end up with better decisions.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even say arguing, it's debating, you know, and neither one of us.
Sometimes enthusiastically.
Right, but also because, George, yes.
You have to exchange emails when my husband and I debate enthusiastically. We have to serve it. We have to just say, I'm going to my computer. I will email you when you're not talking to me anymore.
That's funny.
But that works.
Well, George has... You know, he's got a vast amount of experience in owning businesses, managing. I mean, he's been an entrepreneur for 18 some odd years, plus he teaches at the university. And I'm a first-time entrepreneur. I was in the radio industry as a DJ and a producer for 18 years. And so since this is my first foray into entrepreneurship, often, you know, when I have a question for George and we talk about it passionately, I will yield to his experience because obviously I'm learning, he knows. But George has said to me that sometimes the questions and things that I've brought to him have been helpful to him because he gets to see things and experience things through me like a first-time entrepreneur, and it reminds him of things. And so sometimes the questions and things that I come up with are things that he wouldn't have. And so it really works out really good, and I got to tell you, whenever I win one, I'm dancing around. I'm like, yeah, I did it. So, I'm learning. I'm getting it.
Yeah. It's compromise, isn't it? But
it
you're
is.
Right. I mean, sometimes you take two heads and you put all of that knowledge and all of that experience and all those ideas and creativity, and you come up with some great stuff.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, one of the things we love about it, Denise, is just a great example. We get to travel together for work. And that means then sometimes we get to play. And one of the things that we talk about with big success, you know, life on your own terms. But it's all about basically finding synergies in all areas of your life. And this allows us to live our lives very synergistically. And just a quick little great example of this. You know, we went to a conference in Vegas, and we were planning to fly out on a Sunday night. And it's like, well, both of us are going to be there. There's no reason why we have to hurry to get home. What if we stayed an extra couple days? It turned out that because of the price of the airline tickets and the price of the hotel, we were able to stay for two extra days at no net cost. I mean, it costs us zero. Mm-hmm. To have 2 days of just fun time in Vegas, and I wouldn't do that if Mary Lynn was at home and we were, you know, working separate businesses. So there's definitely some pluses to it.
So he says. No. No,
he wouldn't.
That is definitely a nice bonus that we do have to get work together and play together. But you know what? Even if you aren't married, whoever you're working in business with, it can be scary when you have to make a big decision, and that's big with two G's. I mean, because whatever you're doing, when a big decision comes up, I mean, there's a lot to weigh, and it can be a scary thing. And when you're debating it and talking about it, you come to a conclusion, you say we're going to go this direction, and then you've got to stick with that direction, unless somewhere along the road it proves out that that was absolutely the wrong decision. But one thing that I've learned from George, because I think there's a lot of mental toughness in entrepreneuring your life, taking personal responsibility for the decisions that you make and sticking with the decisions that you make. You have to be careful that you don't go down one path and then look over your shoulder and say, oh, we should have gone there, and then you're wasting all of your energy on looking back instead of pushing forward. So those are some of the things that George has taught me.
Well, and to add to that, a friend of ours who's a very successful business person, bricks and mortar business person, but he made a comment the other day, and it really kind of put me on my heels. He said, I've never made a bad decision. And my immediate response was, man, I wish I could say that. And he says, no, you're not understanding what I'm saying, George. He says, I've never made a bad decision because, I mean, at that particular moment in time, obviously the decision I made was what I thought was the best thing to do. He said, events changed, new information came along, whatever, and turned it into a decision that I wish I hadn't made. But at the time, mm-hmm. I made a decision with the best of intentions and with the best thought. And I guess that's the point to add to what Mary Lynn said is, you got to make decisions, you got to move, but sometimes new information comes forward. And frankly, this is why I think today, one of the reasons why times like what we're in are ripe for entrepreneuring, because you've got to be agile, you've got to be flexible, you've got to move fast. And you have to realize that as you're getting new information, as you know, the market's evolving, as customers are saying new things, or new customer groups are forming and you're finding them, that's opportunity for you, and you've got to be able to move to it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right. And one thing about entrepreneurs, and I know you guys know this, is that we have cast iron stomachs. It mm-hmm. literally does not occur to us that anything we do is going to fail. And if it does, we don't even consider it a failure. We're like, that's a lesson learned. Let me go do something different.
Yeah.
It just doesn't occur that there is failure. It's not a word that's in my lexicon or yours.
Right.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest differences between a corporate employee and an entrepreneur who, by our definition of entrepreneur, you don't have to own your own business necessarily to be an entrepreneur, to think like an entrepreneur. But one of the differences is exactly what you said. You know, failure as an employee in many cases means losing your job or, we try at all costs to never fail, which means we typically take no risk because if mm-hmm. and we think that's not failing, but in reality we are failing. But entrepreneurs, they take on that risk, but the misperception is entrepreneurs love risk. They don't love risk. They just are great risk managers. But they do understand that the price sometimes is failure, but from failure we learn and move on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly right.
And just go back to George's thing because, I worked in the corporate world for 18 years, and I love it. And, there's security there. There's risk there, too. And so that's why we say entrepreneuring your life, whether you're owning your own business or whether you are working in the corporate industry, either way, you are making decisions for yourself. It's no longer can we think of ourselves as a part of this group. We may be a part of this group, but it's all about us and what is best for me. What is life on my own terms? What does that mean? What do I have to do to make that happen? So, I always love to stick up for the corporate world people because I think they're entrepreneurs too. Mm-hmm. up and moving to a different region because it's a better opportunity for you is an entrepreneurial move. There's a risk. It's scary. It takes guts to do that. And you make that big decision, and then you make the most of it, and it works or it doesn't work, and then you've got to shift again. So people today are people today are taking more control of their own lives and thinking like entrepreneurs. And yet, really, in the times that we're in, you have to.
Right. Listen, I am no corporate basher. I love corporate America, and I really wish that people would stop knocking corporations. That's another discussion. We won't go down that road. But it doesn't make sense to me to bash corporations at all. It's not logical. It doesn't make any sense. But do I want to work in one or for one? No. Mm-hmm. Do I appreciate them? You bet. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, listen, the big success show, tell our guests who are here now and people who will be downloading the show later on where they can find you.
Oh, simply go to Big Success, BIGGSuccess.com, and that's where you can listen to the podcast right there. We also do blog posts, so you can read, listen. If you want to subscribe in iTunes, Zune, we're in the BlackBerry podcast directory as well. We've got links to all of those places, RSS feed, whatever you want. And you can also sign up for our Big Success Weekly newsletter where we just throw out a little extra nugget of wisdom and cheerleading for our newsletter subscribers. So everything's right there at Big Success. And if you go to the About page, you can connect with us on Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all of that stuff. So, yep, it's all there at the website.
And our show, Denise, typically it's around 5 to 6 minutes. So we really try to just pack in a lot of information real quick. You know, just you can consume it on the drive to work, while you're working out, you know, while you're gardening, whatever, just quick little hits that really help you live life on your own terms.
Yeah, we've got people who will come over to the site and listen whenever we've got a new podcast up, or we've heard from some of our fans that they like to download like 5 or 6 of our shows at a time and then listen to them back to back because they are short. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to consume them that way. So, you know, however you want to do it, and always feel free to let us know how that you're listening. And, you know, we always appreciate hearing that. So,
well, I will go over and download. I didn't realize that's what you were doing. And I love that idea because when I'm at the gym, I'm not listening to music, and I'm sure as heck not watching that TV. I've got my iPod, my, what do you call it?
I have iPod, iTunes.
Everything's iPad. I was telling my husband the other day, I don't know if I'm talking about iPod, iPad, iTunes. What am I doing? But I do. I take my iPhone. I have to watch just like I. That's what I'm talking about. But yeah, I listen to, and I'm constantly downloading things because when I'm at the gym, I want to take the focus off of the agony that I'm in. And I want to learn something.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
So I will absolutely go download some of those.
Yeah, great. That's awesome that you take the time to exercise. That is wonderful. I've gotten away from that. I need to get back to it. I mean, you know, one of the things that we say about big success, it's life on your own terms, synergy. Work-life balance is a part of that. You have to, I mean, there's work and there's life, and you've got to take care of yourself and so you don't go crazy with all the work. I mean, there's always going to be more work to do. So if you can't take even just a half hour out of a day for yourself, that's not good. So
No, it's not. And you know what? How I figured this out. I mean, I'm in front of a keyboard 20 hours a day. It seems like that's an exaggeration, but there are days when I'm in front of my monitors for 12, 14 hours a day, and that is not an exaggeration.
No.
And at the end of the day, you know, I've stopped, I've cooked dinner, I've had family time with my husband, and I'm moving around all the time, but my back will hurt. And I realize that the bulk of my clients are in the fitness industry for some reason. All of them are intensely, intensely involved in fitness, in the whole mind-body thing, and they are very, very successful. They exercise, they run, they eat properly. They take care of themselves, and everything in their business follows.
Mm-hmm.
So I pay close attention to my fitness clients. I mean, very close attention.
It's amazing.
And you know, you're right. If you don't take care of yourself, well, one day it's just not going to be there for you.
Right.
Going back to what you were talking about, sitting for 12 hours, I was sitting
it's killing
that
me.
Too. And I'm pretty much so our web developer. I oversee our IT for the business. And you know, you just get involved, and then boom, you look up, and it's, whoa, what time is it, really? So what I did was I created a standing station for myself. I'm trying to get George to do the same thing because I was just sitting all the time, and, you know, it makes your bottom feel really...
your spine hurts.
Firm enough.
Not when you're sitting.
Oh, yeah.
Not when you're sitting. There's nothing firm anymore. So I created a standing station. So that, and I've used, it's like a Rubbermaid storage bin, and then I put a coffee table on top of it. Then I can, TV tray, I can put it on top of that, and then I can move my keyboard up. I use a stapler to keep the cord down so that it's not wiggling around, and there I go.
Get a wireless.
I can stand it. Yeah, and that way at least I'm standing all day rather than sitting all day, so...
And now people know exactly how high-tech big success is.
Well,
you've got a stapler, a Rubbermaid container, a TV tray. Yeah, we're online
this
on first.
This is entrepreneuring, guys, I'm telling you.
That's right. That's what
rebounder.
It's all about. It's resource management.
That's exactly. I love that. I have a rebounder, you know, the little mini trampoline.
Mm-hmm.
And when my energy starts flagging or my back starts hurting, I get on that thing and I bounce around like a little 2-year-old. My hair's flopping around and I'm laughing and the cat's underneath there looking at me like, what are you doing, Mommy? And, I mean, I have a good old time. Then I get off and I go back to work and I feel better.
That's good.
So, and right now I'm sitting on my big round exercise ball. I do this when I'm on the radio show because I'm bouncing while I'm talking with y'all. Now, I do admit that one time I fell off and I laid on the floor laughing. But I had sense enough to get the mute button on my way down.
Oh, that's funny.
Yes.
So this
See, I'm bouncing too, but I think it's caffeine.
Yeah.
In my case. But you know, you said a word that's really important, I think, for us to understand, and that is, you know, we spend a lot of time, big success, there's five elements we've determined. And two of them are our resources, money and time. Two of them are opportunities, work and play, and then the one that bridges it all is growth. And growth begins as an opportunity. You've got to take advantage of it, but if you seek growth, personal growth, that becomes a resource, you know, that new knowledge, your network, all
right.
of that. But the key thing is a lot of times we think about managing time, and what we really should be thinking about is managing our energy. Because if we manage our energy level, time's not an issue. You know, we've got, you know, in many cases, we get more work done in the same amount of time, and it gives us the flexibility and the freedom to pursue other things.
Absolutely.
Oh, thank you,
well, thank
My
you.
My goodness.
You should have a radio show
or something.
Or a blog.
Yeah, there you go.
Listen, I know living life on your own terms is so, so important, particularly these days. You know, people are panicking. I mean, the markets are all over the map. Housing is down. There are a lot of things going on that are ugly for some people. Then some of these same people are taking, and I'm looking at, I will say opportunities. They're not disasters. They're an opportunity. A disaster is when you get killed. An opportunity is if you lose your house and you go do something different, I think. I could be wrong, and people may yell at me. But I really, unless you're just dead, I think there are opportunities every day of every moment of your life.
Yep.
So these days, people really need to look at their entrepreneurial, if they have it, and I think a lot of people do. What advice would you give for people right now who are walking around going, well, now what? How would you kind of advise them to say, you know, what are your passions? What are your interests? What are your successes? What can you share with other people?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're hitting, Denise, on exactly where you start. I mean, I think that we always tell people basically, you know, what you really want to do is you want to try to come up with an idea. And there's any number of ways to come up with ideas. In fact, I think a lot of true entrepreneurs, the biggest challenge we have is not with coming up with ideas, it's coming up with, it's eliminating ideas, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But you're exactly right. It starts with your passions. You know, what is it that you just love to do? What would you do even if you didn't get paid, I think, is thus where you start. And so it's all very internal. Mm-hmm. And what we always say is the first step is my idea a good idea? That's the first thing to try to figure out. And what that means is it a good idea for you? Not anything external whatsoever. You start with it's all about you. And I got to tell you, you know, I started my very first, like, real at-risk business when I was 22, risked tons of money to get it started. And for the rest, you know, for the next, let's say, 15 years or so, I pretty much responded to opportunity, but I never stopped long enough to say, what is it I really want? You know, what is it that I think I really want to do? And, I loved entrepreneuring. I loved owning my own business and everything. But the mistake I made was not starting from the very beginning saying, what is it that I want to do? What is it that, you know, really kind of gets my juices flowing? And so when you start with that and then you move beyond the passion to the proficiencies, what is it that you're really good at? You know, what comes easy for you that others find difficult? And a lot of times I think we tend to be humble, and so sometimes those things that we're really good at, we don't even recognize because we think, you know,
right.
Oh, everybody must be good at that.
Right, so that's why we recommend.
Yeah, I call those your soft skills.
Yeah.
So that's why we recommend that in that stage of discovery that you do actually reach out to us, your close colleagues, reach out to close friends, family, people that you know, obviously, and ask them. And I know that it's going to seem weird to do that, but ask them, what is it that you think I'm really good at? Obviously, these are only trusted people. And find out from them what they think. You might be surprised because – like George said, we're very humble, and sometimes we'll push down what we're really good at because it just comes so natural to us that we don't really see it as a strength.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so once we've got that part down, you know, now we're moving towards, you know, we've eliminated hopefully ideas, or at least if we're analyzing an idea, we can now say, okay, it's something I'm passionate about. It plays to my strengths. Now I think you move external and start looking at customers. And I think the mistake that we often make is, as people, you know, because when you go to get a job, one of the biggest concerns is how much am I going to get paid? And they, you know, a lot of people thinking about starting a business, the first question they ask is, how am I going to make money? And that's the wrong question to ask. The right question to ask first is, what problem am I going to solve? And once you find out there's a problem to solve, now you start looking at, you know, are people willing to actually pay enough for it that I can make a profit? So now we start looking for those customers, and are there enough of them? You know, if there's enough customers to, so I can have a decent business, then we're moving towards our good idea being a good opportunity. Final step is we just kind of basically look out and see who our competitors would be. The neat thing about online is in many cases those competitors are actually allies, because working together you can achieve what you can't by working separately.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So,
and that's another corporate
out,
mindset.
Not too many competitors, but we've got a few. Because if there's none, it probably means it's not a good. It's not a good opportunity. Somebody's tried it; it's failed. You know. But basically, get all those in line. Now we know our idea is a good opportunity.
Well, you said something, George. I thought it's really important that, you know, you do reach out, and you do, your competitors are people that you want to learn from.
Mm-hmm.
You want to collaborate with them. You know, you want to chat with them and visit. It's very unlike the corporate world. Here we go back to the corporate world. But my experience with that is that you kind of hold your ideas to your chest. You don't want anybody to steal them. They're yours. And it's very, very different when you're an online entrepreneur. You're gathering up as much information as you can and as much help as you can. Has that been your experience?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that it's interesting because, like, your competitors, like, you know, because we're in the content creation business, basically. I mean, we're publishers, and you know, really, in a real sense. But the thing is, there's other people out there who do exactly what we do, and they're the people we follow most closely because, like, you know, we may say something that gives them an idea, but, the, you know, Jim Bouchard's a perfect example. I mean, what we do and what Jim does, we're very close in terms of what we're actually trying to get across to people and how we're trying to help people. But Jim has a completely different take. I mean, his take is different. Because his take is different, I learned so much from him.
Right.
And it's what we supposedly know so well, you know, but I learned the most from people who are doing exactly, almost exactly what we, what we're doing.
Right,
that's black belt mindset.
Yeah.
So there, so, but.
Yeah, exactly.
But I think also what makes it easier to collaborate with online business versus the corporate world is there's lower overhead. So a lot of times what you can do is barter time. You don't have to barter money as much when you're collaborating with online entrepreneurs. So it is pretty interesting how you can do it that way, or it's like, hey, we could help, you know, affiliates. We can help you sell your product to our market. You can help our product to your market. And so there's a lot of opportunities for partnerships with an online business. You know, there's, you know, a lot of people will say, well, how can I bring down my costs for my online business? And there's bartering. If you're great at graphic design and you need help with developing a website and you know somebody who knows how to build a website, well, hey, maybe you guys can swap that. So it's really nice to be able to, the collaboration opportunities are endless, really, when it comes to online businesses. So, and even
and we don't have to go to committee or, you know, all of the nonsense that you might have to if you're in a larger company or corporation.
Right.
You can instantly, and I've done this on the phone, somebody will call me and say, listen, I've got this great idea. They have some of the resources. They may have a different audience than I do. And I'm like, you bet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just collaborate all day long.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, the real world small businesses that we talk to, they're not catching up with this yet. And, you know, I grant you, in some cases, the pie is only so big in some of these markets, so I do understand. But at the same time, you know, Price Waterhouse, I believe, is the Big Four firm that's doing this, Big Four accounting firm. They're actually, they've got an entire unit now dedicated to helping their big customer clients collaborate with each other because they see how this is all going towards the future.
Mm-hmm.
And as small business people, we really have to get it because, you know, collaboration just allows us to do so much more than we can do individually, you know, and finding those synergies with people. And it's all about, you know, going back all the way to almost the beginning, Denise, you know, you talked about networking. It's really just, that's what it's all about, networking and just using the tools that are available to us to help us, you know, grow businesses that just would have never been possible before.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, you know, I know we're going from ages, Iron Age, Agrarian Age, Information Age. I think now we're in the age of sharing and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the sharing of knowledge and sharing of information and sharing of resources age. I don't know how to extrapolate all that out. There's
mm-hmm.
got to be one word that we can come up with, but I think you understand what I'm saying there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're moving more towards, you know, we're all working towards the same goals, so let's share.
Mm-hmm. Well,
unless I'm just missing the bigger picture.
No, I think you're exactly right. And one of the things I think, we actually did a show about this not too long ago. We were talking about reverse entrepreneuring, because we like that word instead of engineering. Reverse entrepreneuring the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, when you look at what's going on with social media, and I mean, I know a lot of people at this point say, duh, but, you know, for the longest time, I think a lot of people, and at least I didn't get it, but I think we didn't really understand that what we're really doing is we've kind of taken a huge forward leap back to the past. And what I mean by that is that, you know, the way that business is being done today is very much like it was being done before broadcast communications, before radio, before
mm-hmm.
TV. People dealt with people individually. And so what
right.
we said is we think we're kind of on the cusp of the individual revolution where the power comes back to us as individuals. We're all the media now. And so we have that power
mm-hmm.
to broadcast out to a network, and our network has the power to reach us. And like you're saying, Denise, it's all about sharing information, knowledge, you know, skills, et cetera. And once again, it's just something that allows us all to, you know, work with each other in much better ways, much more cohesively, to get more done than we could have done before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. That's brilliantly stated. Thank you.
That really was. I was like, yes, I'm going to rise up. It's individual revolution. Yes. But
no, we need to write that down and post it someplace.
Well, you know, and the other thing that's really great about social media and networking, let's say you work in the corporate world, but to be able to have your profiles, depending on what company you're working for, because there are some who won't let their people be on social media, which seems crazy. But the fact that I can find, I know whose birthday it is today. So if I was going to go, I mean, if I've got a meeting with Jim, because I want Jim to buy into my product or my program, I've got a meeting with Jim, I can hop online, I can see what Jim's been posting for the past couple of weeks, and I've got conversation starters right there. What's great about the information age is not only can we share what we know and reach out and meet new people, but we can also learn more about the people that we know. And it just allows relationships to be strengthened even better. So
mm-hmm.
I think it's really cool. I mean, sure, sometimes it's stalking, but, I mean, hey, it's good stalking. You know, we really get to know each other better. And I think that makes for stronger relationships. And small business people and entrepreneurs can really capitalize on that, are going to be successful.
And thanks to Facebook, Mary Lynn remembered my birthday.
Oh.
I'm teasing.
Come on,
yes, I'm not
well,
that
you know,
bad.
Social. No,
actually, funny
now.
Facebook story, Denise, is we both were on Facebook individually for the longest time, but yet we had all these friends, and so and our desks literally sit, you know, we're about 10 feet apart or so. And so one evening we're there, and I'm on Facebook, and, you know, Marilyn's doing her thing, and I looked over her. I said, you know, I'm going to ask you to friend me on Facebook because I think it's about time. And so fortunately she accepted my friendship request, and then she poked me and wrote on my wall. And anyway, so then about 2-3 months later, I said, looked over at Marilyn and said, you know, I think we should acknowledge that we actually are in a relationship. You know, I mean, we're husband and wife. Maybe we should say that on Facebook. She's like, boy, should we? I don't know. I mean, anyway, it's just kind of funny, though, how I think a lot of times online we don't connect with those people who are closest to us. And
right.
that's where you should start your network, online as well as offline.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some reasons for that, I think. I mean, on my Facebook page, I absolutely do not want family or friends posting anything on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I consider it personal. I consider my family life personal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't want it. And I've made it very clear to them, and they understand.
Mm-hmm.
But some people do. You know, it's all a personal thing.
Well, yeah, you've got to manage your page. And,
right.
And yes, I've done that too. I've told friends, hey, I try to keep mine pretty pretty laid back, and you know, when I'm out socializing, I'm not posting on Facebook. Friends don't let friends socialize and post on Facebook.
No.
It just,
no.
You know, you keep that stuff separate, and you know, just manage it. I think that's good. Establish boundaries. You have to do that in this day and age.
Yeah, you really do. Now, one thing that y'all are talking about with social media, and it's just a way to help people. I really believe that social media, excuse me, if you're doing it properly, and George touched on this, you're trying to figure out what is going to help other people. It's not all about me, 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 I. It's really what you can bring to the table, questions that can be answered, questions that can be asked. You know, really that's kind of what we're all doing out there. We're all floating around trying to find information. That's what the Internet is all about. So this morning, I have to tell you this story because I just thought this was brilliant what this guy did. I opened my email to find, and I don't know who this man is really, but apparently we've exchanged emails at some point, and he still had my name and address in his database. So he sent me a note, said, "Can you spare just 2 minutes? I could really use your help." I thought, here we go. It's from Nigeria. I just won $10 million. But when I opened it, I win it every day, y'all. I am so rich. And I haven't collected yet, though. I guess I need to follow up.
Yeah.
But he said, and I looked at this email. I just kind of glanced at it before sending it to the spam folder. And he said something I thought was really interesting. It said, "We have all heard of the 6 degrees of separation, which says that we are within 6 connections from one individual to another, which is why I'm writing. All I'm asking is that you review my resume and forward it to just 6 people. I went, huh. So I read the whole thing. Then I clicked on the link, and I read his actual resume, and then I called him just to see if he was a real person because I thought this was fairly brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a real person. He sent this out yesterday. He's already got 2 job interviews,
wow.
And I posted it on my blog.
That's awesome.
So his resume is all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you just have to entrepreneur for yourself.
Yeah.
Sometimes ask and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
Really smart.
I thought it was a brilliant approach. I was so proud of him. Yeah, I don't even know him, but I thought it was pretty darn cool.
Absolutely.
Did you hear about the guy who did who bought the Google ads? He said he spent $6, and he wanted to work for a couple of marketing firms in New York. There were some in particular that he wanted to work for. So what he did was he bought a Google ad with the names of the CEOs of these companies. And so when they Googled themselves, there was a personalized message, which was an ad, that said, "Hey, you know, such and such, doesn't it suck to have people who aren't good with marketing? You should hire me." And
something like that.
You can, yeah, and it was much more eloquent than what I just came up with. But
right.
Anyway, he got 4 interviews there were 6 firms he wanted to work with. He got 4 interviews, callbacks to 2, and hired by 1.
There you go.
That was just brilliant. Yeah. So it's just amazing, the creativity, the things that people are coming up with, the entrepreneurial ideas that they're coming up with to get what they want, to get that life on their own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You're not standing around doing it the same old-fashioned way or going to the unemployment line. You know, you dig down, you find that resourcefulness and that entrepreneurial spirit, and off you go, and God bless everyone.
Yeah.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
So, listen, why is entrepreneuring about your life and your profession? Do you tie that in for us?
Yeah, and really, you know, it's kind of funny, Denise, as we were really kind of developing Big Success, and it took us probably a good year to year and a half to really kind of come up with this whole platform. But one of the things we realized was, you know, there's all these people out there that say, you know, it's your personal brand. Well, you know, it's more than that. And then, you know, you'd hear people that say, well, you're the CEO of your life. And it's like, yeah, but you're more than that. I mean, the CEO can, you know, take a golden parachute and go off to another company. I can't take a golden parachute and go off to another life, you know, I guess, you know, sort of eternal life, you know, I mean, whatever. But that's a whole other discussion.
Or that money finally coming through from Nigeria.
Yeah. But the point is, as we started talking about this, we realized, wait a minute, we own our life. I mean, we own the enterprise known as our lives. And so we are the entrepreneur in charge of our life, and all of a sudden it became clear, wait a minute, you know, entrepreneurs, they take control. They want to control the firm. We take control so that in times, you know, no matter what's going on, we feel like, you know, we have the responsibility to do something to create value, create something from nothing, and that's all about our lives as well as our profession.
Right, but also, you know, when you sit down and you think about life on your own terms, what terms are those for you? For me, you know, one of my terms is happiness and love, and I've got those things with George. And so it was important to me that my professional career enabled me to be able to have all the time that I could possibly have with him. And so, you know, I think our parents and our grandparents, you know, their lives were defined by their jobs. They went to their jobs and they knew that they were going to work this job until they got to a certain age and they were going to retire, and then that was that. I think that in this individual revolution, we are also saying, no, I want my life to be full and complete. I know that work is a part of my life, and I know that my life is important too. I want to be able to enjoy both. And by doing that, I mean, now sometimes work is going to get 80%, sometimes your family is going to get 80%. But to be able to allow that synergy, to be able to make sure that you are actually living life the way you want to, I think that's so important to people. Life is too short to not be happy. Life is too short to not have everything that you want and trying to get it. I mean, sometimes you can't get everything, but you can figure out a way to make it so that you're satisfied. And that's so important in work and in life. So I think people today are trying to find ways to have that balanced happiness. And why not? Why wouldn't we?
Exactly. I mean, it's not – who made up those rules that you can't have it all? I mean, honestly, who made that rule up?
Yeah, I mean –
I want to talk to that person.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And not in a good way.
Right. Dini's coming off that ball, and she's going to practice karate kick.
It really – I think you're so right. You know, people are just absolutely saying, look around you. You know, people are, there's people over here that are having a real hard time. There's people over here who are just having a good old time. What's going on here? And how do I get to the people that are having a real good time? And look, we work hard. You work hard. I work hard. It may look like it easy. It's easy. It is not easy. Do we enjoy it? Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't mind working all these hours. I don't mind any of it because I'm passionate about it. I enjoy it. It's, my creativity is sparked every day. I love what I do. Love, love, love what I do. So it's not work.
Right.
Not at all.
Well, you know, Denise, there's a person that George and I will bump into when we're out at networking events, and I keep trying to encourage this guy, but, I mean, he's got to make that decision for himself. He's got a job. He makes money. He hates his job. I know there's a lot of people in life who just, they hate their jobs, but, hey, it's a paycheck and it's what they do. So I say to him, well, what is it that you would really love to do? And what he really loves to do is refurbishing antiques. Loves it. I mean, once he starts talking about that, his eyes light up. He goes on about it. He loves it. And so I say to him, well, why don't you try starting up a, you know, do you sell it? Are you selling the things you refurbish? And he says, no, it's just a hobby right now. It's a hobby. I say, is it something you would like to make money off of? Well, yeah, I'd like to. But, you know, I've got my job. And then he goes back into stinking thinking and his job sucks and all this. And, but I'm like, I don't understand why you couldn't do that part-time. But here's the other thing. Even if you never wanted to make a dime off of it, are you making time for your hobby that makes you happy? Because even if you're passionate about the work that you're doing, it's going to be a lot of work. But are you making time for the things that make you happy, for the things that fill your heart and your soul with passion and joy so that when you're doing it, the minutes just fly by? You have to make time for that. And if you can make it something for you to make money on the side, I don't know how that could be a bad thing. I don't, but some people won't turn the switch, but for some people to take a hobby and turn it into a business, it would make the hobby not fun anymore. Mm-hmm. So, again, that's just life on your own terms, evaluating what's important to you, but making sure that, you do, you know, fill your days. Even if you have to go to a job that you don't love, that doesn't fulfill your passion, what are you doing away from the job to fulfill your passion so that when you're at your job, you will be happier because you're doing something outside of it to make yourself content.
And to even add to that.
And create that balance.
Yeah,
and to add to that, it's interesting that there was a study done, I believe, at the University of Michigan, but I don't remember. It might have been Michigan State, but these guys studied scientists across the world, and they're all part of this one society. I can't remember the name of the society.
Sigma Chi,
I think, or something. Yeah. But what they found was less than 1% of the scientists in this society had a hobby. And so then a lot of Nobel Prize winners come out of this society. So they then went to the Nobel Prize winners, and they said, okay, what? And so what they're really doing here is they're looking at trying to identify the differences between the scientists who won a Nobel Prize and the general population of scientists. So less than 1% of the general population of scientists had a hobby, but over half of the Nobel Prize winners had a hobby. And when they really drilled down deeper, they said, okay, what is that hobby? Well, in many cases, what they found was, like, their number one hobby, I think, was painting. But it's painting, writing, music, it's all very creative kind of stuff. And so what they determine is part of what Nobel Prize winners do to be so creative with their field is they do creative activities on their own as a hobby. And the things that they learn as they get into that flow in their hobby, they're now able to bring into their job. And I think it's an important lesson, you know, for all of us is that, you know, we don't like the term work-life balance. We think it's actually an incorrect term. But the fact of the matter is you've got to have diversity in your life. And, you know, part of it is obviously prioritization, but diversity is absolutely important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reason we don't like the work-life balance term is because...
I was just going to ask.
Wait,
there's one?
Yeah.
I thought there were about
a dozen. In your head, vision like a, you know, a scale, and you've got work on one side, and you've got life on the other side, and you're trying to balance the two, and it's just impossible. I mean, especially now in tough times, a lot of companies have cut back. People have been asked to take on more responsibilities for the same amount of pay and all of this. So it's really hard sometimes to come home and be done with work. Sometimes you have to still be doing work. But then yet, when you're thinking work-life balance, then it's like I'm being bad because there's this dividing line and I'm not supposed to be dealing with work when I'm at home. And then when I get to work, I'm not supposed to be taking calls from home and dealing with family issues if something comes up. That's just impossible.
Artificial boundaries.
That's impossible. So.
Well, and the other thing is just, you know, first of all, work life. It's like, okay, wait, if I'm at work, then what is that death? I mean, what is that? I mean, if the other part is life, then what is work? I mean, so it just creates a bad image from the get-go. But then the other thing is, like, am I trying to balance every day? Am I trying to balance every week, every month, what's the point of demarcation here? And, you know, I think it's not how we live our lives as humans, you know. Our life is a system, and if we think about it systemically or systematically, you know, and holistically, we're much better off than if we try to create these artificial borders.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes
sense. That's our rant on work-life balance.
Yes. Did we rant enough?
And actually, when Mary Lynn started explaining it, I was just going to say, why? How do you explain it? So perfect. I mean, you beat me to the punch there because I really wanted to know why. But I agree with you. I mean, it makes absolute sense in how we manage it, my husband and I, because he does work in the home. He has his own business. I have my own. We have separate offices, which is how we are able to stay together. But we have set years ago, we set what my husband calls family time. And let me tell you, that is sacrosanct. We don't answer client calls. We don't answer the front door. We don't answer emails. That is family time. We're together in the kitchen. We're doing whatever it is that we're doing. Nobody else is allowed in. Mm-hmm. And that's how we've managed to balance our very, very busy lives.
Yep, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of funny. One of my former students actually made a comment on one of our posts, and his point was he actually schedules his fun time first because if you think about this kind of works. You know, like we tend to schedule everything that we're supposed to do at work or for our business, we tend to schedule that first. He says, no, I schedule my fun time first, because then, like he says, that almost, by scheduling fun time, he says, I know, okay, there's something I really want to do, and I'm going to make sure that I got everything done in order to do it. And he says, what I find is it actually helps me get my work done faster mm-hmm. and better, because I just went ahead and scheduled fun time, you know, just went out of my way to schedule some fun activity. And it's like, it's a great idea.
Isn't that amazing? When was the last time you actually put on the calendar something fun to do? It's always me or that. So, yeah, that was pretty eye-opening. I liked that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just it. I mean, because we do work from our homes, most of us, and, you know, we love what we do. So who was it? Was it, you know, Shakespeare or Dolly Parton who said if you love what you do, you're not, it's not work. I think it was Dolly Parton. But you know, I'm pretty sure it was.
Yes, the Shakespeare would have said, if you wherefore love what thou doest.
Yeah, that would fly these days. but, you know, the truth is that, I mean, I will get caught up. I know you guys get caught up and you're just in the middle of a project or two or three. Your creativity is through the roof and you don't want to stop.
Absolutely.
And then all of a sudden it's 11 o'clock at night and you're like, okay, mm-hmm. need to get up, stretch, move.
Yep.
You know, but,
yeah.
but that's what happens. So you do have to separate as an entrepreneur. You have to really make it a point to separate out that, you know, family time or me time, that personal time. I call it healthy selfishness. You have mm-hmm. to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with, you know, don't answer that phone. Don't answer that door. Take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, we have to do it. So what, again, tell people where they can find you.
Sure. We're at Big Success. That's big with two G's, success.com. And that's where you can listen to our podcast. Our podcast today is talking about the Chilean miners and entrepreneuring like a Chilean miner. Because those guys, boy, you talk about, you know, an entrepreneurial bunch. In a time of crisis, those guys were amazing. And, I mean, what a feel-good story, the fact that these guys have all gotten a second chance at life and all the people that were able to come together and help them out. I mean, just amazing. So, but yeah, that we talk about topical stuff. We talk about life on your own terms and
mm-hmm.
kind of your cheerleader. And our podcasts are about 5 minutes or less, and you can subscribe. All the ways to subscribe are right there on the website. So,
great. So it's bigsuccess.com with two G's.
Two G's, yes. B-I-G-G.
Two G's. I love that.
The two G's stands for goal-getters. So,
goal-getters. Goal-getters.
Goal-getters, yes. People who are just never satisfied, you know, always looking for that next thing.
Right.
You know, I'm working here, but yet I want to learn some new things. People who are always just reaching and stretching and growing.
So it's about being happy, not content, is what we say.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. Because when you get content, you get kind of lazy, don't you?
Yep, absolutely. And actually also, you know, like research is showing that, you know, that people who just like right on that borderline of just being content but not there, they're the people who tend to just, they keep going, they keep growing, they keep, you know, and whereas
mm-hmm.
people that are happy, like I said, I mean, ultimately, you know, we're a living organism, and so if we're not growing, we're dying. If you get content, you're actually starting to die. So we try to prevent that.
Yeah. I mean, that's absolutely true. Listen, if I find myself just kind of, and it's happened, it doesn't happen for long, but if I'm walking around like, oh, you know, I'm just kind of content, I realize that I'm coasting,
mm-hmm.
and that's never a good thing. It's never, never, never. Now, one thing I wanted to touch on with you too while I have you on the show is how easy these days it is to become an entrepreneur. And I don't mean, and we're going to go back to what George touched on just real briefly about how you find your clients and how you find your niche, but it's so easy these days with the internet and with all the systems and tools and free information out there. And, you know, WordPress is fabulous. I mean, there's these wonderful magical plugins and widgets that you can use. It's really not that expensive anymore to launch a presence on the internet. To connect with other people just takes time and the energy and, you know, to just kind of connect with people, chat with them, get to know them. It's an amazing thing that we can do on the internet. We don't have to get a loan. We don't have to, you know, build a brick-and-mortar business. You can work off of your kitchen counter if you don't have an extra dedicated office. You can do whatever it is that you really need to do. All you need is that spark. And I really wanted to talk with you guys about that, you know, how just the different processes and systems that people can use or utilize to get their message out there once they've determined. Because, George, you said something earlier. I get this question all the time. People say, okay, I've got this idea. Now all I need to sell is 400 of these things at $80 a piece, and I'm going to be rich. And, oh, my heart just curls up when I hear that. It's like, no, 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 no.
Right.
You know, you have to actually go about it differently. So can you kind of explain to people what I'm trying to say? I think I got off track there.
I think you've done a good
job,
Denise.
I
got confused myself.
Well, I just think that, you know, in terms of, you're absolutely right. Money is less of an issue today than it's probably ever been, or certainly, you know, for hundreds of years, I would say. But I think that one of the things we always say is this: time or money, you're going to invest one or the other. You got to. I mean, you know, there is no such thing as get rich quick, and, you know, the only people who get rich quick are lottery winners, and they soon lose it. So, you know, it just doesn't happen. And so you've got to be committed to dedicating some time. And then as far as tools that are out there, you know, Mary Lynn's our technology person. Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, you named WordPress, which is certainly, you know, in my mind, the biggie.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's just so much with cloud computing and everything going on today. I mean, you don't have to make those huge investments in technology like you do. Small companies can get scale almost like a big company. You know, there's huge advantages to, well, not advantages, but the playing field is getting more and more level between small business and large business in many ways. Plus, small business owners have the advantage of flexibility and personal, you know, being able to be personal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, anymore, just to get started online, it's incredible. So have your domain name, have a host, because you don't want your... You can do it this way if you're low on cash, but you really don't want the free blogger or WordPress. Mm-hmm. You don't want it to be your business name .wordpress.com. If you can avoid that, you can do it, but if you can avoid that, get your domain name. You know, most hosts allow you to upload WordPress to it, and now you're using the WordPress platform. So what? You're going to spend about $100 a year to have a hosted domain that allows you to also be able to upload your videos or any of your cool multimedia products that help support and promote your business.
And let me interject one thing real quick, because, like, to put this in perspective, because I'm always trying to relate it to the real world. Imagine finding a place where you could set up shop and sell your wares, your services, whatever, and the landlord said your rent is $100 a year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to happen. And the thing is, traffic, you know, you got to find ways of getting traffic to your site. And, you know, sometimes you feel like you're not on, you know, that you're not part of the solar system because no one's coming, you know, no one's visited your site yet because, you know, they haven't done exploration that far. But, you know, the thing is, ultimately, if you just, you know, start networking, get the word out, people start coming to your planet.
Right. And a lot of people talk about search engine optimization and all of that. I mean, you know, here's the thing. Once you know what you're selling, what your product or service is, go look at those spaces that are similar to yours. And you know, all you have to do is in your browser, click view and then source and look at the keywords that they're using. And that would help you determine what your keywords should be so that you can be found when people are searching for your business. And there's keyword pools and things like that. So you can... What's nice about starting online is you can do it without having to know everything. And you can always go back and change things when you go, oh, I should have done this. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Back and change it. So,
especially if you're on the WordPress platform, you can make changes instantly.
Yes. Yeah. So,
and the WordPress platform has a plugin called All-in-One SEO, which pretty much takes care of that, you know, little SEO problem for you.
Right.
So, you're absolutely...
Right, and there's premium themes out there, too, that you can pay. Mm-hmm. Oh, they usually run just under $100. Some of them are around $100, some of them have built-in SEO to help out with that. So, I mean, it's just a learning curve. All you got to do is Google, and you'll find all sorts of great resources.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, just type in your keywords and start studying, and then start going to places like the Big Success Show and listening to tips over there. Go to places like this show, listen to tips over here. Okay. Go to Jim Bouchard. He's got some great tips. Get on Facebook. Get on LinkedIn. Get on Twitter. And don't try to sell yourself. Network, chat, visit. That know, like, and trust factor is so, so critical.
Right.
Absolutely.
I mean, you
one of the worst things people can do is try to sell you something. It's like, I don't know you. I'm not. Go away. Just go away now.
Well, and Denise, there was a an interesting blog, and this has been a post on a blog on the Harvard site. It's probably been 6, 7, 8 months ago. But I love the quote from the author, and I can't remember his name. I think it was Peter Bregman, but I'm not sure. But anyway, the quote was, borrowing from Seth Godin, small is the new big, said, sustainable is the new growth. Trust is the new competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about how he'd gotten a call from a small business person who was talking about going head-to-head against, and I can't remember the name of the big company, but it's a known brand. They went head-to-head against each other, trying to get the business of another fairly big company, and the small company won. And the CEO had asked the executive at the bigger company, why us? Why? What? I just want to know. It's like, how did we get this? And by the way, they had prepaid the contract, which was several $1 million. And the guy said, look, he says, here's the thing. With bigger companies, he says, I don't even know for sure the CEO is going to be there tomorrow. He says, with you, I know you're going to be there. I know you're committed to your people. I know you're going to be around. And so I trust that we're going to be able to do business together.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you ultimately.
Right.
And I think that's the ultimate advantage that we as small business people have, is that we have the ability, because it is personal, we have the ability to build that trust much better than any large organization can. Once again, not that there's anything wrong with large organizations. We need them in many cases to our customers. But we have to also know what our strategic advantages are, and that's definitely one of them.
Yep.
Well, you guys have given some great, great information here today, and I thank you so much. In fact, I'm going to call you when we get off the show and continue our chat offline, if you don't mind.
That'd be great.
We can do some serious chatting.
Look at all the listeners you have, Denise. Man, you're awesome. Thank you for letting us be on your show and introducing us to your audience.
Thank you.
That was really, really
nice.
Well,
you introduced my audience to me, because I would not be on Blog Talk Radio if it were not for you. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And it's, you know, I've loved it. I have really, really enjoyed this whole journey. Again, and I blame it on you. Thank you.
Well, you're fantastic. So.
Yes.
Oh,
great.
Thank you so much. I just love the work that you guys do. But thank you, George, and thank you, Mary Lynn, for your time here with me today. I really, really appreciate it. And you've given some really great information to our audience, and I know this is going to be one of those that's just downloaded like crazy, and they will appreciate it just as much as I did. So thank you, everybody, for being here. The show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths, George Kruger, and Mary Lynn Foster wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cool.